Blog Talk Radio.
The Career Brand. This is Latrice Collins, your host and the founder of the Career Brand Company. I am so excited. As you all know who've been following, the Career Brand is all about how do we help individuals like yourself grow in your career and how do we help companies grow to the next level. Well, we're in the midst of a three-part series all around effective communication. Because as so many of us know, quite often the challenge that's existing in working with individuals and achieving higher levels of success really lies in a barrier inside of communication. So we have a four-part series that we're in the midst of, and we started already with the power of emotional intelligence. And in part two, we went to recognizing individual communication style. And now we're in part three. Well, we're talking about emotions versus logic. Which will win the battle? And as many of you all have known, if you've ever been in an argument with someone where you're being logical and they're being emotional, there seems to sometimes be no way out. So we want to talk a little bit about that on what does that look like in the workforce and what is most effective in the workforce? How do we identify it? What can we do with it? And so with that, I am very honored that today we have a fantastic corporate leader with us. She's going to be with us and share her nuggets of information. So Tisha Lucero is on the call right now with us. Tisha, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We are totally excited you're here. Now, Tisha, I'm going to give you a little bit about Tisha's bio. She has she's a senior vice president right now in the learning and development group with Wells Fargo Consumer Lending. She's responsible for the human capital strategies for learning and development and for performance consulting. Now, she leads the learning functions for the home lending business that supports servicing, customer excellence, and production. Her team focuses on providing learning and development solutions for over 40,000 employees or team members with Wells Fargo. Now, this is pretty significant because that means Wells Fargo has entrusted Tisha with 40,000 of their team members to ensure that these individuals understand how to do their job, how to effectively communicate with customers, and how to effectively communicate with each other. So no better person to actually have on this call than Tisha. Tisha did receive her bachelor's degree from the University of Arizona, and my favorite is that she enjoys, spending her time off, she enjoys playing with her five-year-old son, gourmet cooking, and decorating the house and just having fun with friends. Tisha, one of the things that's wonderful about your profile is not only are you awesome and that you have the skill to really help make sure we're leading thousands, but you're balanced and enjoy the balance of your family, your husband, your child, and your friends. So what a great example to have on the show.
Thank you for having me. And you know what, I try really hard to make sure that I do have that balance, and I know balance looks different to everyone, but the two things that are important to me are my family, friends, but then I also balance with work, and I enjoy what I do.
I love the order she put it in, too. Family, friends, and then she balances it with work. So I think if we can keep a focus on that and make sure we're being effective at those three, which is a juggling act in itself, we can have a really fruitful life, right?
Yes.
So, Tisha, before we get started, let's talk a little bit about, like, what's your experience when it comes to the workforce and you've worked with, now I know Tisha's worked with not only, you know, managing her teams, but she's had hundreds of people reporting into her. She's managed this country, other countries, and so forth. What do you see as a pattern when it comes to communications and, or do you have any examples of where people struggled with each other in the workforce?
Well, I think what I would say is a struggle in general for people in the workplace is just understanding the different styles related to communication, preferences, the frame of reference that we have, the experiences and the beliefs that we bring. Those all play a part in overall communication and problem solving and just interaction in general. And it sometimes can create really great collaboration, and another time can create sticky situations.
Hey, can you repeat those items again, the categories that you said people are coming from different perspectives?
Yeah, they come from just different communication styles. They have different preferences. They have different frames of reference, experiences, and beliefs. And those all play a part in how we interact with each other.
So, you know, I'm just like the other person, and I'm writing down notes as well, because I think this is, I mean, I think that kind of sets the tone, Tisha, right? Because it's not just one item on why there might be conflict or struggles between two people. It could easily come from, I think you listed out five different categories on if any one of them, if you're not in sync with anyone, it could create a struggle between people, right?
Absolutely, it could. Absolutely.
Yeah. I've said on a few shows, sometimes we're great team members. And we're struggling on a team, but it's because, you know, we're a basketball player decided to work for a football team. And sometimes it's not that one is wrong. It's that we simply have to figure out, you know, which team are we on and what does it look like? And how do we then bring our best game to that? With the exception of Bo Jackson, you know, who managed, I think he's our model. He learned to do that well in a couple different sports. And that is say it again.
I was going to say that's a great analogy, and I have a real story related to that exact analogy that you used. We had a change organizationally, and there was the analogy of we are now going to operate as this individual role is the quarterback, and everybody else is part of the team. Well, when you look at that analogy, a quarterback is truly a leader. And they have to take the lead. They call the plays. They communicate with the coach. You know, that's not really how this change should have happened in the organization. And it should have been more to a basketball team where everybody's going to get a pass at the ball and they're going to have their opportunity to move towards the net. And it's just looking at things like you just said, Latrice, can make all the difference in the world.
Yep. Yeah. And to your point, Tisha, I think one of the things as the team member, so it's always, you know, whenever somebody changes the rule book on us, right? And I can't believe we're comparing this to sports, considering my level of knowledge in sports.
Mine too.
So I can imagine men and women who are good at sports will be listening to this and say, technically, and we're like, we don't know. But I think to your point, one of the challenges is when you change the game book midstream, right, that throws the whole team off. And because of that, there are different things that each person experiences. Sometimes they're struggling with it from a logical perspective, and other times they're struggling with from an emotional perspective. And if the leader isn't identifying that, one, there's a struggle, and then, two, if there is a struggle, which direction is it coming from? Really, that could create a bigger challenge than the change itself. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I absolutely would agree with that. Those two elements, logic and emotion, at play, whether it's related to change or influence or communication, can, you know, create some speed bumps.
Yep. So what is the difference between using logic to make a decision versus using emotion to make a decision? Oh, excuse me.
Well,
not even just to make a decision, just what's the difference of them, period, in the conversation?
So I would say when you're coming from more of a logic mind, whether it's around decision or creating a compelling story, whatever the case may be, it's really coming from a place of facts, of reason, information, statistics. when you look at that, that's really coming from what I would call your top of mind or your conscious mind. But when you look opposite of that to emotions, that's driven primarily by experience. It appeals to others' heartstrings, and it goes with the full range of emotions from joy to sadness to anger to, you know, depression, whatever those emotions are. And that's really more of on a unconscious or heartfelt level.
That's good. And I can imagine then because of that, emotions also are touching our value system. You know, what's making
absolutely.
Us tick, how we identify ourselves.
It touches our value system. It touches back to what I mentioned earlier, our frames of reference, our beliefs. And it, you know, solidifies and creates those beliefs and makes them stronger depending on the emotion that you felt.
So what would be a scenario where logic-based decisions are used in business?
Well, I think if you talk to most business people, they would say that logic-based decisions are used every single day. And it's that we come to the table with information, again, or facts or statistics to help us drive a decision or move work forward. But if you peel that back just a little bit and you look at the intent or what's most valuable to that individual, you might even find a little bit of emotion there.
That makes sense. Now, what about the flip of it? What about the emotional-based decisions?
The emotional-based decisions, I think you see those and you experience those, and I guess the best way I can frame that up is I remember a situation where I had put together a bulletproof case, or at least so I thought. I had all the facts. It was all based on logic. It was based on data that I had. And in my mind, it was ironclad, and there were no way others wouldn't agree with my logic. And when I presented that information, it blew up. And what I missed in that was the emotions that came to play for other people and their experiences. So what may have looked very logical to me on paper, based on all the data and the facts and, you know, what I had pulled together, actually created a what I would consider to be an allergic reaction for others emotionally.
I can totally get that. I remember once, Tisha, I had a manager who I worked for, and she was very methodical, right? So I thought she was logical, because which is not to say she wasn't, but I thought she was logical because she was so methodical, right? So, you know, I came up with a solution to implement that was going to help her world, and, you know, I'm ready to go, you know, boom, make that thing happen. So I wrote it up, and I kind of, you know, felt around, meaning I asked a couple people about some of the breakpoints so I can make sure I presented a strong case, right, on what it was. I was so excited that when I presented it to her, I'm thinking just like you, boom, this is all net. You know, this is, I got
it. Oh, yeah.
Tisha, I got to tell you, it blew up on me so bad. It blew up so bad. And for the life of me, I could not figure out why this was blowing up on me. So she was extremely upset, noticeably upset. And she started questioning, why would I do that? And, you know, she should have been involved with it. And I hadn't implemented anything. I just, you know, created. Yeah, I just created it. And I talked a little bit to people to make sure, you know, was I putting together something that would fit. So I was doing some fact-finding. And what I did was, in this discussion, I kept communicating more logical things on why it was
more
the
facts.
Good solution. Right? Exactly.
More
because
facts.
I thought,
throw more facts at them.
I did. Tisha. So we're laughing at it. I bet there's logical people out there going, but that's the right thing to do. I promise you, I couldn't figure it out at first because I'm thinking, well, this is a logical person who's very methodical, so she must always communicate logically. So You know, the more facts I threw out, you know what was happening, Tisha?
Oh, I could tell. She got more and more upset.
She did.
Because
she
you were giving her more and more data and more information, and there was a disconnect.
Yep, that's true. So, you know, so for me, I finally had to stop and say in my head, okay, wait, this is not going good. This is a slippery slope, and you're not going to come out of this. And this was, since this was my leader, that wasn't in my favor if I didn't figure out how to come out of that. And I remember stopping and saying, can you tell me, it feels like you're really, really frustrated. Can you tell me, you know, what is it that's frustrating you the most about this scenario or what I've proposed? And after asking the question a couple different times, it got to that she wasn't involved, right? And then I realized the importance to her emotionally was that she felt left out, or she felt that I was superseding her, or, you know, it became an extremely emotional situation that, to your point, is just like having that ironclad solution, right?
Right.
Didn't really, really go in my favor for that moment. So,
and that is so key, what you just said about, you know, getting them to then open up, right? To understand, mm-hmm. okay, why are you so upset? And you said you had to ask a couple times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that really pulled out to the emotional aspect of it. Maybe all of
exactly.
your facts and data were right, but there wasn't an emotional connection there. That wasn't being made.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that is a little delicate to do. So we're going to do a quick break. And when we come back from the break, we are going to jump into, you know, a couple items. Tisha, if you can help me to help people identify. So what do you do if you have to persuade a person who's in a logical mode at that moment? Or if you have to persuade a person who's in an emotional mode at that person, because it can go in and out in the middle of the same conversation. And we have to figure out how to flex throughout that. Does it make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to do a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
We all know that companies have a brand. But what about you? What's your career brand? TheCareerBrand.com will help you identify your brand, your career brand. Navigating the career landscape can be daunting and challenging, but you don't have to go it alone. TheCareerBrand.com is dedicated to guiding professionals through the career branding process. With the use of cutting-edge tools, training, and consulting top career coach, author, and creator of TheCareerBrand.com, Latrice Collins. At thecareerbrand.com, you will find incredible and useful career branding books by Latrice Collins that will show you the ways of breaking through the glass ceilings. Men and women of all ages have raved about the benefits they receive from these books. Also, don't miss Latrice Collins' webinar, Brand Ignition. Companies are always looking for the best talent. With Latrice Collins and the tools at thecareerbrand.com, you will demonstrate to employers you are that talent. To learn more, visit thecareerbrand.com.
And we're back. So before the break, hey, Tisha, so thanks for coming back, making sure we're back. So before the break, we were talking about, Tisha and I are both sharing some examples of when we misdiagnosed something and went into a conversation unbeknownst to us, unprepared, and had it gone wrong. And we tried to continue to use the same technique in that same conversation and didn't have the best results. So, Tisha, maybe you can shed some light on this for our listeners. Have you ever tried to persuade a person to change their mind who was operating from pure emotion?
Oh, yes, I have. Yes, I have. And once I've become aware, and I think this is one of the things that each individual who has the opportunity to influence or persuade someone to look at things differently or from a different point of view is you really have to know yourself and you have to be self-aware. What are your intentions or emotions tied to that situation? Because that will play a part in how you present information. So for me, I typically go with what makes sense what I would consider to be logically. Give the facts. Or there are others who come with more of what I would consider a heart mind. And they want to know what's going to be the impact to me, to others, to the situation, because they come with that emotion tied to it.
So could you tell our listeners, how do you identify, you know, what are some key things that you may identify in the midst of a conversation? So let's say, you know, we're talking strategy, right? Or it doesn't matter what role you are. It doesn't matter if you're an executive or if you are the, you know, customer service person. You're talking to somebody about how to make something work. And somewhere in there, the conversation went a different direction. What are some flags to realize that that person is in logic mode? They're using that left side of their brain.
I think you're going to hear the conversation change. So I'm just thinking of a customer service interaction where you're on the phone maybe with your phone carrier or cable carrier, and you're trying to give the facts. And this has happened to me, and I'm sure it's happened to several others, where you're trying to say, well, you know, I did send my payment in, it came, you know, I received my notice on this date, and I sent it in on this date, and that customer service person is not listening or not responding the way that you're hoping, and you become emotional, and that can happen. And then they start giving you facts back. Well, no, sir, or no, ma'am, we received it on X date, and it was this amount, not that amount, and they don't realize that there's been a switch. And you have to be able to, again, like I said, be self-aware enough to understand and see where that has happened in a conversation. Has the language changed? Has the volume or tone of the individual changed? And what words are they using? You know, some people go into, you're not listening to me, and you're making me very upset. Those would all be indicators to me there's a lot of emotion there.
Right, right.
You know?
Now, I also really like what you're saying on, if you're listening closely, their tone changes, their pitch changes, and so forth. So to differentiate, to break it down a little even more, differentiating for when they're using which one. So if you hear a person who is being fact-based, right, here are the numbers, here are the date, and so forth. Or even better, if they're asking you a lot of questions that are fact-based, because sometimes we confuse that. When people ask a lot of questions, we think they're disagreeing with us. But that may not be what's going on. They're just trying to find out. If they're asking fact-based questions, they might be just trying to analyze data, right? So when is this?
Right.
What is that? When is this going to occur, right? What's the impact?
Absolutely.
Those things, those are still just fact-based, right?
Absolutely.
Versus,
those are all fact-based.
But what does it sound like when you know all of a sudden it changed and they're emotional? So what are some of the things they might say that you realize, wait, what just happened? It switched into an emotional base.
I think what I've heard is, you know, comments like, you're not listening to me, or I feel like you're backing me in a corner. You're putting me on the defensive. Then it has completely switched to me. My perception is it switched now. There's some emotion going on there that needs to be addressed before you can make any positive progress forward.
Yep. And notice the word switched to you. So instead of tell me what are the dates or tell me the impact, instead of it being just based on facts, you're making me feel this, you're not listening, you know, you just think this. Once that switches, it's like a person poking you with their fingers, right? You know? So
definitely.
Right. Or you don't care about, uh-oh, this is a poke going on, right? So when that happens, you know, and I know we only have like 5 minutes left in the show, but, you know, when that happens, it's important for us, just like Tisha just described a moment ago, how do we shift? So we were talking about something. And we were talking about something, let's say we were emotional. We were talking about how to take care of people, how to do more for the customers. And then all of a sudden the person switched and you thought you're going to be able to do this event that was going to cost the company a little money, but you'll be able to do it. And all of a sudden the person started talking about, so what's the cause? How many is it impacting? you know, what's the return on investment? And you're like, what just happened? We didn't care about that a moment ago. We just were talking about the great impact it would have. There's things to do to make sure we stay on the right page with the other person, because if we don't stay on the right page, if we don't stay on the same page with the person, we lose each other, and then relationships eventually get harmed, right?
Absolutely, and that's the hardest to recover from, is when there's been damage to a relationship. And to what you were saying, Latrice, I think it's really going back to intent and what is most valuable to the other person. So when you hear that switch, using your example, and they start asking about what's the budget, what's the return on investment, what's the time commitment in this, then you're getting a better understanding of what's valuable to that individual.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to pause in order to continue in a successful conversation and maybe switch it up.
Mm-hmm.
And provide answers to those questions, or at least address and acknowledge that you're hearing those, you know, questions and concerns.
And I think that's really huge, because usually if conversations escalate, it's because the people don't believe you hear them, right? Doesn't matter if it's logical or if it's emotional. If it starts escalating, that means somewhere the other person doesn't believe that you're hearing the words they're saying, or the not just the words, but the impact and the intent of the words they're saying. So I think, Tisha, to your point, checking that understanding, making sure that it's a good spot to stop. You know, if you see it's going a little awry, it's a good point to stop and ask the questions, right? To stop and say, it sounds like you're asking these type of questions. Is it that you're not in agreement with this project, or you're not interested anymore? So that fact-based person could say, no, that's not it at all. I just need the facts so I can figure out how do we effectively implement it. So I got to put budget towards it. By stopping and asking the question, you're able to clarify what you think you're seeing.
Absolutely. And it's okay to say that, you know, to phrase it the way you did. I like to say, so what I'm hearing is most valuable to you are the facts related to how we're going to get this accomplished and stay in budget. And then wait for that affirmation. Yep, that's exactly. That's what's top of mind for me.
Yep. Unless you're dealing with an emotional person, and then you hit the wrong value. I'm picturing some people I've worked with, and I say, what I'm hearing is most valuable to you is X. If I'm wrong on what's most valuable to them, it fuels another level. I can just totally see some people just jumping to another level. So I think it's, if nothing else, the conversation also helps us to say, know your audience very well, but ask the question. Feel comfortable with asking the question on to ensure that you're interpreting everything effectively, right, or correctly.
Absolutely. And I would say that's probably, in a business context, the greatest myth is that we just don't pay attention to the signs to see that shift in the conversation.
I think the other piece, in closing this part out, I think the other piece that's really important. So, you know, Tisha's helped us to see the different sides of emotions versus logic, and, you know, what the focus is and how to identify it. So we talked just a moment ago about ensuring that we hear them, we explain to them by summarizing, this is what I heard you say. But then you kind of got to lead into, in a few seconds, you got to lead into, so now that we both agree, I've heard you, can we agree to discussing this other side that I'm passionate about, to see if we can collaborate on this effort? Because that's kind of closing it out, would you say?
I totally agree. And it's okay to, even at times, if you can't get to that point of closing it out, that you take a time out.
Yeah. Yep.
Before you allow things to escalate any further or, you know, damage a relationship.
Tisha, thank you so much. This is it for the Career Brand. Until next time, everyone, don't forget you can listen to the recording and listen to our next show coming up. Until next time, thanks so much and have a great day.
Thank you, Latrice.